Greetings, truth seekers. Greetings, Mr. Miss America and all the ships at sea. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, once again drafted into duty to occupy your public airwaves for our good friend Mike Malloy, who is enjoying a holiday tonight. If regular listeners will understand that. You understand that, right? Holiday, that's right. Holiday party. Anyway, excuse me. So you've got me, as I say, your friendly blogger from bradblog.com. And boy, do we have a big show for you tonight. So buckle up is all I can tell you. Okay, a couple of pieces of business I want to get out of the way here. The bradblog.com chat room is, as usual, open for business, as it always is when I'm filling in for Mike Malloy, as I will be tonight, and a couple more Friday nights throughout the end of the year. So there's your warning to either, bless you, Tony. See, everything's falling apart already. There's your warning to either avoid it or make sure you find us here on Friday nights until 2012. But the chat room is open at bradblog.com, and Dale and For Earth and Desi are all there moderating the chat room, welcoming you in. Moderating isn't the right word. We'd love to see you there, so stop on by. You can also tweet me throughout tonight's show at The Brad Blog. That's where you will find me on the Twitters, The Brad Blog, and our phone number tonight. Don't dial it yet, because I got a lot to cover still, but in case you're going to want to ring in on tonight's issues, our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. We are broadcasting from the beautiful Burbank studios of K-Talk AM 1150, and we're delighted to be here. Our phone number, as I say, 877-520-1150. Okay, Well, you know, I think that I have a feeling that Malloy, he does this on purpose. He knows that whenever there's a government shutdown coming, whenever the Republicans are holding a new victim, a new hostage against the American people, when the midnight deadline is upon us, as it is tonight, by the end of tonight's show, they need to strike a budget deal. And, of course, the Republicans are doing what they always do now. They're holding things hostage, and we're going to find out about the hostage takers momentarily. That deadline is at midnight. But anytime this happens, Malloy takes off. Do you notice that, Des?
That's funny how that works, isn't it?
He did that on the budget or what was it, the debt ceiling?
Well, you know, it's happened three times already this year, so that's something that we find happens fairly frequently. He takes off. I think he plans this.
So there's going to be a pretty good chance, as frequently as it happens, there's going to be a pretty good chance that I'm going to be sitting in one of those nights guest hosting, I guess. Anyway, we're going to keep you up to date. Des is going to keep you up to date. And by the way, that's the lovely Desi Doyen. She is my producer when I'm sitting in for Mr. Malloy. She's also my co-host on the Green News Report, which you can find out more about at greennews.bradblog.com. We may play some Green News later, but I wanted to have Des in here because one of the things we're going to do tonight, oh, man, we're going to get all of the stories straight. Every single one of them. There is so much nonsense and BS, and I'm going to have to keep watching my... Tony, keep your finger near that delay button, because it's hard for me to remember to say BS. There is so much of it going on out there. I want to straighten up.
Get your boots on.
Yeah, get your boots on. It's going to be thick tonight. At least we're going to try to thin it out by giving you the real story. The real story about this nonsense that you may have heard if you watched last night's edition of Insane Republicans Running for the Presidential Nomination on Fox News, and that debate they had last night, and the nonsense we heard there about the Keystone XL pipeline. That's one of the reasons I want to have Des here, because she's going to straighten us out on that. It's nonsense about Iran. I mean, look, I would love to see a legitimate Republican nomination, Republican nominee running against Barack Obama this year. I would like to see, frankly, if you watched that debate last night, that clown car crazy debate on Fox News last night, Ron Paul was actually great as he often is, on some foreign policy issues, including Iraq and Iran, while every single candidate up on that stage was talking about bombing Iran. These people could not wait to get into a war with Iran. They can't believe that Barack Obama is not already launching missiles into Tehran. You had Ron Paul there actually speaking some sense, actually saying, do you people hear yourselves? This is crazy. Didn't we learn our lesson from Iraq? And then he actually said on the Fox News Channel airwaves that we killed 1 million people in Iraq. Because guess what? Yes, we did. 1 million civilians were killed, according to several studies. And Ron Paul said it on the airwaves. And I'm sure heads exploded around the country from Fox News viewers who were watching this who had no idea that the USA had killed 1 million Iraqi civilians. Now, the most conservative estimate, I think, is 100 and something thousand Iraqi civilians. But Fox News people haven't heard about that. Can you imagine if any country killed 100,000 Americans? Look what happened on 9/11 when we lost, what, 3,000 or so, was it? And we've been in endless wars ever since. So Iraq, a country much smaller than ours, lost 100,000. And at least Ron Paul had the guts to come out and say that last night on the Fox News Channel for the first time. And that's why I would love to hear. I would love to see Ron Paul as the nominee, see a debate between he and Barack Obama, and see Ron Paul actually being to the left of Barack Obama on foreign policy. And that's another story we're going to try to get straight tonight. The National Defense Authorization Act, which has passed now in both houses of Congress, does the bill allow for indefinite detention against U.S. citizens? Indefinite detention without trial in military prisons? Well, yes, it does. Did Barack Obama threaten to veto it if it included that? Well, no, he didn't. We're going to straighten out that as well. We got a lot, as you can tell, we got a lot to straighten out tonight. Also going to straighten out some stuff and nonsense about the Wisconsin recall elections, the recall of Governor Scott Walker that is underway up there. No Fox News, no Rush Limbaugh. Adolf Hitler and Mickey Mouse did not sign petitions for the recall of Scott Walker. However, there are some people who have now been charged with election fraud for trying to destroy petitions in the recall Walker campaign. We're also going to straighten out the story about Occupy LA if we have time. You may have heard about the arrests that took place a few weeks ago when the LAPD came in and shut down the Occupy LA encampment out here at City Hall. What you might not have heard is what happened after that to those detainees who were held for days and days without charges, without attorneys. Oh, and by the way, they were kept on buses, shackled for some 8 hours at a time, forced to urinate on themselves. Other folks who were detained were forced to kneel on cement for up to 7 hours, shackled. That's what we used to call torture in this country before we started changing the language and inventing phony language to justify things like torture, to justify the big government tyranny that Republicans love to act as if they're against, when in fact they're in favor of it. Go figure. If they weren't in favor of it, they would be screaming holy hell about the treatment that the Occupy protesters, Times Person of the Year, I should add, the protesters, the treatment that they have faced from not just the LAPD, but police agencies across the country. We're going to come back with that and a whole lot more. Oh, light bulbs? Dim bulbs on Fox News. We'll be talking about that as well with Desi Doyen. You can stick around, Des,
yeah,
right?
I'll be here.
All right, she's going to be here. Give us the real facts. That's all we ask for is the truth. Oh, we'll try to tell you the truth about Green 960 up there in San Francisco. Good news there, maybe. Stay tuned for that. Brad in for Malloy.
must be some kind of way out of here.
There is no way out of here. We are manning the Watchtower tonight. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. We have so much of a show ahead of us, as I said before the break, that I forgot to mention we're going to be joined later in the show by Jacob Dean of Filter Free Radio. And some of you folks may know him from that. Others may know him as Tom Hartman's producer. He's going to be joining us. We're actually going to be simulcasting with him, not with Tom, but with Jake in a few hours here on his broadcast tonight, as he is kicking off along with our friend Nicole Sandler on their Radio or Not network.
RadioorNot.com.
RadioorNot.com. They're kicking off a 24-hour Occuthon. In support of Occupy LA. No, Occupy Wall Street. See how single-minded I'm only thinking about, it's always about me.
Occupy.
Yes. So we're going to be talking with him and actually simulcasting a little bit later tonight with the Occuthon, which I'm disappointed to learn has nothing to do with the Octomom. Very disappointed. But anyway, we'll be joining him in progress a little bit later in the Malloy and Bradcast tonight. Okay, so we're trying to straighten out some stories. There's so much stuff and nonsense out there. I've asked Desi to join me on this. Desi Doyen. Okay, they were talking about this last night at the crazy clown car convention they call the GOP debate on Fox News.
The traveling circus?
Yes, and now they have tied it. This is now tied to the budget showdown, which is midnight tonight, Eastern time, which is coming right upon us. The Republicans have now tied in the Keystone XL pipeline. That's what they have chosen to hold hostage this time around. And last night, all of the, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, we may have some of Newt, maybe we'll play that in a bit, they were claiming, as they have been on Fox News, that this pipeline from the Alberta tar sands down to the Gulf of Mexico would, if only Barack Obama would approve it, would supply how many millions of jobs?
11 billion.
That's what they've been saying. 20,000 is the number they like to use.
20,000 jobs. Some were saying 60,000 jobs at one point on Fox News.
They even brought it up to
100,000 jobs. The State Department, when they did their study of this, the State Department study came up with 6,500 temporary construction jobs. This pipeline would be finished, completed, and online by 2014. So that's 2 years worth of temporary construction
jobs
of about 6,500, according to the State Department. And then
right.
Cornell's Institute of Labor Studies came out with an independent, the only independent study on this particular project. They said even fewer jobs. So no, not 20,000, certainly not 100,000. They were thinking more like, 1,400.
At a max. I think
and
their
that's
number
a
was,
maximum.
We'll take 400 to 1,400 temporary
construction
jobs.
And then when the pipeline is operational, permanent jobs, maybe as many as 50.
As many as 50.
That's
the
a lot.
Only
50.
Independent job. The only independent study that looked at this.
Right, and this 50. Is for a pipeline that will extend 1,700 miles from the incredibly destructive and environmentally hazardous tar sands of Alberta. It's the dirtiest oil project on Earth. It's what James Hansen, NASA climate director, called a carbon bomb if it is fully exploited.
Mm-hmm.
That would ship this across this pipeline down to terminals in Houston. And they say, you know, it'll create jobs. It will help secure America's fuel from a friendly neighbor, Canada, which is true to a certain extent, except it will do nothing to lower gas prices. It won't really change the global market for oil either. And, of course, we've got 1,700 miles of pipeline from a company that has a really bad pipeline safety record.
And so the Republicans now are taking this carbon bomb of the Keystone XL pipeline and tying it to the budget deal. It has nothing to do with the budget, but they're threatening government shutdown tonight at midnight if the Keystone XL pipeline is not included. Now, we should be clear here that the Obama State Department had previously approved this pipeline
for safety. The environmental
impact
statement,
right.
The final hurdle to complete approval, and it was then going to go to President Obama to be the final decider on this, and he very famously, after many protests from the excellent group 350.org, he listened to those protests. He realized he had an election problem coming on with his environmental and much of his base.
You mean the environmental extremists that we heard about last
night
on the Fox
News. Yes, the majority
of
Americans are apparently environmental extremists because they prefer to have clean air, clean land, clean water. But Obama decided to postpone that decision until after the 2012 election.
Now, you say it was because of all the pressure from the environmentalists, or as they say on Fox News, the environmental extremists. However, Barack Obama's decision to not cancel the project, but to postpone a decision because they're moving to a different route and they have to check the route. They have to do a new environmental impact study.
The state of Nebraska objected. The Republican governor of Nebraska objected.
The Republican governor, the Republican legislature said, we don't want this poisoning our drinking water. And that was when Barack Obama finally changed his mind, not according to Michelle Bachmann, who said it was the environmental extremists who Barack Obama was counting on to knock on doors for his election. The truth is, the union folks are in favor of this pipeline, many of them, and they do a lot of door knocking, too, in favor of Barack Obama. So we're trying to get these facts straight. Stick around, Des. I got more facts
more
I need you
this.
To help me cover here. Dim bulbs all straight ahead. You're listening to Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Buckle up. Stay with us. To your Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting coast to coast and around the globe here tonight. In for Mike, as he's enjoying an early holiday. He'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me and more show than we can shake a stick at. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, where they've got a poll up now. I think For Earth and Dale have put up a poll there. We're talking about this tar sands pipeline and whether the Democrats and Barack Obama are going to cave on the Keystone XL pipeline as part of this budget deal that is coming up at midnight tonight. Must be done by midnight tonight to avoid a shutdown of the federal government. For my money, shut it down. At this point, shut it down. Call their bluff. Anyway, there's a poll in the chat room. Will Obama cave in and allow the tar sands pipeline? And what we're trying to do is clear up fact from fiction here. Now, the Republicans have, in fact, what they did, they had all of these writers. Desi Doyen is joining me here, my co-host on the Green News Report. We had all of these writers that the Republicans had put in there to keep the EPA from doing anything.
Unrelated policy writers to a budget, a straight budget proposal that normally in normal times and back in the real world when we used to have normality, those things would get passed without any problem. Now they're attaching all of these poison pills, all these riders, all these policy issues, their little favorite thing
hostages.
They're trying to get.
They're holding in hostages. And now what the Obama administration was able to do, or the Democrats were able to do, was get them to remove all of those EPA riders except for one. The one that has to do with Keystone XL pipeline, this dirty, filthy pipeline that's going to run all the way across the country.
The biggest soft to big oil that the Republicans could come up
with. And they're out there repeating over and over how many jobs it's going to cost. Now, in fact, in where they are now with this agreement, if Obama accepts this compromise package that includes, that has the Keystone XL, the approval, the pipeline attached to the deal, it does not mean, correct, that he's going to have to build this pipeline.
That's correct. It requires him to make a decision to approve the pipeline within 60 days.
Within 60 days. If he doesn't make a decision to approve or reject, then approval will be granted to build this pipeline. In other words, it's forcing his hand to make a decision about this before the election.
Right.
When he would like to wait until after, because he's got folks in his base, both the environmentalists who are opposed this, and some union folks who want to see this done, despite the fact that it ain't going to bring all that many jobs, no matter what, Fox News loves to tell you. The independent studies tell
us otherwise. And it's also important to note that the State Department earlier this week threatened the congressional GOP, saying if you do this, if you attach this rider, you are going to force our hand, will be forced to not approve the pipeline because the environmental impact statement that now has to be redone because they've moved the route.
They moved it.
So the State Department said, if you force our hand, then we will not approve the pipeline. We will withhold approval completely.
Yeah,
well,
so, that's what they said.
That's what they said.
That's what they said. We'll see if they do that. Here was Newt Gingrich last night lying about the Keystone XL pipeline, calling. I'm surprised he didn't call these extremists terrorists. Just get it over with. Call them terrorists. He called these extremists, these environmentalists, terrorists. Instead, he just called them extremists, which we know is code word for terrorist. Newt,
the Canadian Prime Minister has already said to the American President, if you don't want to build this pipeline to create 20,000 American jobs and bring oil through the United States to the largest refinery complex in the world, Houston, I'm going to put it straight west in Canada to Vancouver and ship the oil direct to China, so you'll lose the jobs, you'll lose the throughput, you'll lose 30 or 40 years of work in Houston. And the President of the United States cannot figure out that it is, I'm using mild words here, utterly irrational to say, I'm now going to veto a middle-class tax cut to protect left-wing environmental extremists in San Francisco so that we're going to kill American jobs, weaken American energy, make us more vulnerable to the Iranians, and do so in a way that makes no sense to any normal, rational American.
So did you hear that? Did you hear all those code words? Left-wing, environmental extremists in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And 20,000 jobs, which
of course is not true.
Nonsense. The independent study says 400 to 1,400 temporary jobs and permanent jobs, maybe 50.
If
right?
we're lucky.
Okay. So that's Newt out there lying, and that number is being repeated over and over again. It looks like, Des, and you're keeping your eye on this tonight, it looks like the pipeline is going to be included in the budget deal. They've reached a deal in the Senate.
They have indeed reached a tentative payroll tax deal, which will then allow them, that's the impasse that was holding them up from doing all the other government shutdown business. So, yeah, they have reached this tentative payroll tax deal. It will extend the Social Security payroll tax cuts and jobless benefits for 2 whole months. So we get to go through this all over again in two months. And it will require Obama to accept those demands for the fate of the pipeline. And it also includes that dim bulb light bulb ban.
Okay, we're going to talk about the fake light bulb ban. Although, get Kathy and Mike Malloy on the phone. 2 months, you say?
Yes.
Okay, so there's going to be another shutdown in 2 months?
We'll have to tell them.
Yeah, let them know, because that's when we'll be back guest hosting again. All right, this light bulb thing. They had, so you got the Keystone XL thing is still in there.
Policy rider, yes.
The one other thing that the Democrats have agreed to leave in, they got rid of the policy riders that would have gutted the EPA, except for this one about the light bulbs. And Fox News, anybody who's been watching Fox knows that thanks to Barack Obama and the left-wing environmental extremists in San Francisco, thanks to them, light bulbs are all going to be banned except for the crappy, terrible ones that are fluorescent and everybody hates. Those are the only bulbs you're going to be able to buy as of the end of the year.
And of course, wrong. Completely false. A total lie. There is no incandescent light bulb ban. There never has been. What it was something that the Bush administration approved, which was energy efficiency. You know, the light bulb hasn't changed since Edison invented it in 1900. So they figured, hey, you know, time for an upgrade. Let's save some money with energy efficiency. So the Republican Congress and the Republican President George W. Bush passed the energy efficiency in light bulbs, in incandescent light bulbs. And so that's what we have now. The manufacturers of light bulbs have already started innovating. You can already get more energy efficient bulbs now. You can even get LEDs. In fact, that was part of what helped spur the innovation in lighting that we have now.
The American light bulb producers like this.
Yeah,
because they can compete. They want to compete with China, who's making the crappy non-energy efficient bulbs, apparently. Here's a from a leading manufacturer quoted at Climate Progress in July, quote, "The reality is consumers will see no difference at all. The only difference they'll see is lower energy bills because we're creating more efficient incandescent bulbs."
The funny thing is, so, you know, consumers saving money on mm-hmm. energy. I think perhaps the Republicans would like for you to spend as much money on energy as possible because that is mm-hmm. the company, those are the companies that are
their meal ticket,
funders.
Baby.
So, you know, they need to make money by selling you as much energy as you can possibly use up.
Mm-hmm. Blocking the standards, this is from ENE News. Blocking the standards effectively serves as a slap in the face to light bulb manufacturers who have been working since 2007 to produce these new bulbs. They stand to make money. The light bulb producers, the American manufacturers, the ones who we manufacture so little in this country, they're the ones who are getting screwed. They're the ones who the Republicans are telling to go to hell with this, and that Fox News is out lying about, telling you you're going to have your light bulbs, the light bulbs you love so much, banned. Completely nonsense.
And it's a lie.
It's a lie. All right.
So that was included on the payroll tax cut deal, the extension for 2 months. The light bulb, the not a light bulb ban at all, is now gone away, I guess, for 2 months. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure how that works. And the Keystone XL pipeline approval. And we get to do this all again in 2 months.
In 2 months. Okay. So we're going to have the fake light bulb ban gone and the Keystone. And then we'll find out whether Obama is going. Right now in the chat room, there was a tie last I looked. The poll that they had set up in the bradblog.com chat room between will Obama cave in and allow the Keystone pipeline? Yes. Oh, and now it's changed a little bit. Yes, 56%. And my hair is on fire is 33%.
My hair is on fire. I asked for
means...
her. And she said it means, yes, he's going to cave, and I am totally freaking out about it.
Freaking out about it.
That's
okay.
My hair is on fire.
All right, yeah. No, only has 11%. So I wonder why people think Barack Obama would cave on that. Well, perhaps the way he dealt with the National Defense Authorization Act gives us some indication of why he might cave. We're going to be talking about that momentarily. Can we get to an early break here so we have plenty of time coming back after the break for this? Because I got this and I got a lot more. Like I say, we're going to invoke the fourth hour tonight because there's no way we can get it in 3 hours. So. We're just letting our affiliates know we'll be running for 4 hours, maybe even longer. Maybe we will turn this into an Occuthon and keep occupying the airwaves. And we're happy, by the way, I should say, to be occupying the airwaves in San Francisco, the great Green 960, which the Brad blog can report tonight. Looks like it may not be shutting down after all. May not be shutting down. Clear Channel had planned to make it go away, replace it with Glenn Beck by the end of the year. But it looks like we have news tonight. It may be sticking around. We'll have more on that. Brad, in for Malloy.
You must be mad. What happened to the sweet love you and me had? Against the door he leans and starts a scene. And his tears fall and burn a garden green.
Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show, coast to coast and around the globe on Sirius XM Channel 127. Of course, many great, fine progressive affiliates, air affiliates across the country, including Green 960, Clear Channel's Green 960 up there in San Francisco. We were worried we were going to lose you at the end of the year. We still might lose you at the end of the year.
Well, San Francisco would lose, actually.
Yes. Good point. Well said. This Clear Channel, I know Mike had talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We broke the story over at Brad Blog. We've got a new story on it today. We broke the story that they were getting rid of Green 960, replacing it with Glenn Beck, other Fox News lunatics. But that has changed, it seems.
Maybe.
Maybe. hopefully, instead of at the end of the year when they were going to dump it. And by the way, as Malloy Mike pointed out a couple of weeks ago when this came up, or a week or two ago when this came up, Mitt Romney's Bain Capital actually owns Clear Channel now. So at the beginning of a 2012 presidential election year, Mitt Romney's old company was going to get rid of the progressive talkers in San Francisco, the only progressive talk station on the AM dial in San Francisco. The nation's one of the nation's most progressive towns was going to have no progressive talk radio. That still could be the case. But we have learned, I've talked to some inside sources after a tip from All Access, which is sort of an industry website, radio industry website, was reporting that Clear Channel is rethinking their plans. They may keep Green 960 around, keep it intact. And some of the folks that I've talked to seem to indicate that that very well may be a possibility. How's that for a soft confirm? What I can confirm is that the plans were underway to make this change by the end of the year, and some of those plans have stopped for the moment. There is nothing official. Nothing official has been announced yet, but the signs are looking encouraging. And so if you live in San Francisco or in the Bay Area or anywhere in this country that you're concerned about our public airwaves and the right to have free speech to counter the 99% of the radio that is right-wing, corporate-owned, right-wing lies and nonsense, much of which we've had to disabuse you of throughout this hour as we're trying to straighten out the fact. You know, this is one of the problems with progressive radio, is we spend so damn much time correcting the lies, correcting the nonsense. We're going to keep doing that in this next hour, unfortunately. Lies about Adolf Hitler and Mickey Mouse signing recall Scott Walker petitions up in Wisconsin. Never happened. It's a lie. It's BS. But Rush Limbaugh is allowed to go on 700 affiliate stations and tell all of his listeners that that's what happened.
And don't forget to mention the millions that Fox News reaches when one of Fox News' reporters said pretty much the same
thing. Fox News, yeah, but you know what? Rush Limbaugh reaches far more folks than Fox News does. Talk radio is where it happens. Talk radio is where the lies begin, where they live, where they get into everybody's ears while they're driving to and from work. Way more people listen to Rush Limbaugh than the entirety of Fox News primetime lineup. Same thing for Sean Hannity. On the radio, way huge listenership. You know, and that's just the facts. And when they tell you that, oh, progressive radio can't succeed because nobody wants to listen to it, nonsense. Absolute, utter nonsense. The fact of the matter is, most of the progressive stations are not allowed to have the big signals. They're not marketed. They're not promoted. They're owned by the same stations in the same towns as the right-wing stations. There is no competition in progressive talk radio. There is no free market in talk radio. That's a scam. There is no competition, period. And I can back it up 1,000 times till Sunday.
With actual data,
actual facts.
The numbers don't lie.
Hear otherwise, if you hear that the reason there's not progressive talk is because it's not successful on the airwaves, that's nonsense. It was amazing, actually, last week when I broke the story that Green 960, the Clear Channel was getting rid of Green 960, I was able to point out that, in fact, they had, you okay? All right. I was able to point out that, in fact, Talkers Magazine had claimed that the reason Green 960 was being shut down in San Francisco, the nation's most progressive city, was because talk radio needs a listenership that feels like they're in the minority. And up there in San Francisco, where they're so liberal, they didn't feel they were in the minority, therefore they didn't listen to the station. Now, in fact, they didn't market the station. But they did listen to it. Anyway, it actually did almost as well as Clear Channel's right-wing station up there in San Francisco. And the right-wing station has a stronger signal. So it did fine. But you had Talkers Magazine claiming that talk radio doesn't do well unless the audience doesn't, feels put upon, unless the audience feels victimized. And they don't feel that way in San Francisco because it's such a liberal town.
And what does that say about the conservative listeners that they have to feel victimized?
Well, you know what? This is if you trust what Talkers Magazine said, because the other excuse for why, if that was true, if talk radio needs a listenership that feels like they're in the minority and they're up against it, then there would be progressive talk radio stations across the state of Kansas, across the state of Utah, across the reddest, most Republican areas in the country. You would have progressive talk radio on the airwaves. But no, we don't have that. And when you ask, well, why isn't there progressive talk radio in Kansas? Why isn't there progressive talk radio in Utah? Oh, well, we don't need progressive talk radio in Kansas because everybody there is so conservative, with quotes around it. They're all so conservative, they don't want to listen to progressive talk radio. So
they get it both coming and
going.
They
get it both coming and going. And what they're doing is they are raping you on your public airwaves with right-wing talk on your public airwaves. And then they're lying to you about it. And they're telling you, oh, it's because that's how you want it. Just sit back and enjoy it.
Oh,
Isn't that what they say?
No,
yeah,
no,
that's
no.
what they say. When it comes to talk radio, be happy you even have it, brother. Straightening out more lies and nonsense straight ahead on your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Oh, we got a big show ahead. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Number two of your big, big, big Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, occupying your public airwaves tonight, coast to coast and around the globe. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com. Join the fun. Tweet us at the Brad Blog. And what else? Oh, we're going to open up the phones for your calls in a bit. We've got a lot to cover. You know, I only get to come in once in a blue moon. And when I do, I've got a lot of stuff saved up that I need to talk about. Tonight is one of those nights. And again, we were talking in the last hour about Green 960 up there in San Francisco, our San Francisco affiliate. The decision to keep them on the air, after all, is not yet final, is not yet confirmed. However, as I reported, All Access, the industry website, reports that, quote, that they have learned, quote, from several of the shows scheduled to be dropped from Green 960 have now been, quote, uncancelled. And they go on to report that, quote, several sources tell them that, quote, Clear Channel has changed its mind and will keep Green 960 intact. The sources that I spoke to today, while they could not confirm this, they seem to indicate that that is likely to be true, or at least the previous plans to dump the only progressive talk radio station on the AM band up in San Francisco, in the most progressive town in the nation, that plan to do that at the beginning of the election year may be on hold, at least for now. So if you're up in the Bay Area, feel free to let the folks at Clear Channel know up there at green960.com that you would love to have progressive radio stay on our public airwaves in San Francisco and everywhere else. And we have much more on that story today at bradblog.com. If you stop on by there, you can read my reporting on that. And, well, could be some good news for a change. Okay, now back to the bad news. We were talking in the last hour about the stuff and nonsense, the hooey about the Keystone XL pipeline that the Republicans are using to hold tax cuts, payroll tax cuts, and this budget deal hostage to the Keystone XL pipeline, as well as their this phony light bulb ban that never occurred. There is no light bulb ban. Although, why does George W. Bush hate light bulbs? Because he signed this extreme. I guess that makes George W. Bush, as Newt Gingrich said last night, I guess this makes George W. Bush a left-wing environmental extremist from San Francisco. I guess that's who Newt was talking about. Those left-wing environmental extremists from San Francisco, like George W. Bush. Anyway, we straightened out. We gave you the truth. We gave you the facts on that in the last hour. And I got a lot of facts I got to straighten out with you today. A lot of new news on the war on democracy, the war on voting. Going to try to get to everything here. Wish me luck. One thing I'd love to straighten out here is this National Defense Authorization Act. Because Democrats are appropriately up in arms, as it were, about the approval of this National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which would allow for the detention, the indefinite detention of U.S. citizens. Now, here's the deal. You may recall that this bill is supported by Democrats and Republicans alike. And for a while, Obama was threatening a veto if this bill was passed as it was written. Now, the reason he was going to veto it was not because it would allow for the indefinite detention of U.S. citizens without trial in military prisons like Gitmo. Anybody, by the way, who was detained, who the president of the United States decided was an enemy combatant, could and will and would be held for an indefinite period of time with no due process whatsoever in prison, in a military prison. They never need to have a trial at all. So Obama wasn't threatening a veto because it included that language. He was actually threatening a veto because it included some language by Carl Levin to exempt U.S. citizens from that instruction in the bill. He wanted the exemption for U.S. citizens out. Why did he want it out? Because he didn't want any language. Obama didn't want any language in this bill that told the president of the United States, whether it be him or anyone else, he didn't want any language in that bill that told the executive branch how to run a war, who they could and couldn't detain at their whim, at their will. So he wasn't threatening a veto, because a president could possibly be allowed to hold these people hostage, U.S. citizens, without trial forever in violation of, all sorts of amendments of the Constitution. He wanted that out. Because he feels, as did George W. Bush before him, that he has the authority already to do this. That he was granted the authority by the Iraq authorization to use military force back in 2001. That he already has clearance to hold U.S. citizens, to hold enemy combatants, to decide who an enemy combatant is at his whim without any check and any balance. He feels that the executive branch already has that right, and he doesn't want Congress telling the executive branch what to do. Because that's what presidents do. Presidents protect presidential power, executive power. At least that's what modern presidents do. At least that's what presidents do since George W. Bush and his wild expansion of the executive office, which Democrats were furious about, rightly so. Now Barack Obama is continuing that policy, and there's still a lot of Democrats who are furious about it, but not enough. Many of them are looking the other way. They're making excuses. Now, to be clear, the bill does not say that the president does not allow him to. Actually, let me read from Adam Suhr here from Mother Jones to clear up some of this, because he gets it right. He writes at Mother Jones, following the Obama administration's withdrawal of its veto threat Wednesday, the National Defense Authorization Act passed both houses of Congress easily and is now headed to the president's desk. So what exactly does the bill do? It says that the president has to hold a foreign al-Qaeda suspect captured on U.S. soil in military detention, except it leaves enough procedural loopholes that someone like convicted underwear bomber and Nigerian citizen Umar Abdul Muttalib could actually go from capture to trial without ever being held by the military. It does not, contrary to what many media outlets have reported, authorize the president to indefinitely detain without trial an American citizen suspected of terrorism who was captured in the U.S. A last-minute compromise amendment adopted in the Senate, whose language was retained in the final bill, leaves it up to the courts to decide if the president has that power, should a future president try to exercise it. But if a future president does try to assert the authority to detain an American citizen without charge or trial, it won't be based on the authority in this bill. So it's simply not true, writes Adam Suhr, as The Guardian wrote yesterday, that the bill, quote, allows the military to indefinitely detain without trial American terrorism suspects arrested on U.S. soil who could then be shipped to Guantanamo Bay, unquote. When the New York Times editorial page writes that the bill would, quote, strip the FBI, federal prosecutors, and federal courts of all of their power to arrest and prosecute terrorists and hands it off to the military, or that the, quote, legislation could also give future presidents the authority to throw American citizens into prison for life without charges or a trial, they're simply wrong, says Suhr. The language in the bill that relates to the detention authority as far as U.S. citizens and permanent residents are concerned is, quote, nothing in this section shall be construed to affect existing law or authorities relating to the detention of U.S. citizens, lawful resident aliens of the United States, or any other person who are captured or arrested in the U.S. I'll read that again. The bill says nothing in this section shall be construed to affect existing law or authorities relating to the detention of U.S. citizens, lawful resident aliens of the U.S., or any other person who are captured or arrested in the U.S., unquote. As Adam Suhr goes on to write, as I've written before, this is cop-out language. It allows people who think the 2001 authorization to use military force against the perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks gives the president the authority to detain U.S. citizens without charge or trial to say that. But it also allows people who can read the Constitution of the United States to argue something else. And that's why Senator Dianne Feinstein, and I'm surprised to see this, but she has been proposed language, an amendment to exempt U.S. citizens. That failed, by the way. But she's now proposed legislation to make it clear that indefinite detention authority does not apply to U.S. citizens arrested in the U.S., which at the very least should force Congress to go on record about who exactly is opposed to detention without trial at the whim of the executive branch. So in other words, the bill does not order this. It does not require it. However, it allows for it to continue for those folks like the president, President Obama, President George W. Bush before him, who apparently think they are perfectly allowed to do this. And remember, Barack Obama thought he was perfectly allowed to target a U.S. citizen for assassination, Anwar al-Awlaki, and then carry out that assassination without due process, without anybody proving that he was a terrorist, without anybody, without him ever having a day in court, without there being a single check or balance. That's what Barack Obama did. Something, by the way, that George W. Bush, to my knowledge, never did. Have we cleared that up a little bit? I ain't saying it's good. I'm just trying to explain what it is and what it isn't so the American people can make an informed decision about the leadership of our country and what the hell is going wrong with it. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. A whole bunch more straight ahead. Stay with us.
I just need some place where I can lay my head.
Hey, there we go. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Some folks in the chat room said that I need to read Section 1031. I was actually reading from Section 1031 of the National Defense Authorization Act. And in fact, it is a fact that the president was able to detain U.S. citizens and hold them without trial indefinitely in military prisons before this act, at least if you believe what Barack Obama and George W. Bush felt. They feel that that right was already given to them by the authorization to use military force back in 2001. And I said that was said referred to Iraq previously. It was actually the authorization for military force in 2001 against Afghanistan and or other people who were believed to be involved with 9/11. So they had the president had that right before, at least according to those who believe that. And he or she still has it afterwards. After this National Defense Authorization Act is signed into law, it's been approved by Congress, and will most likely be signed by the president, probably this weekend, quietly when nobody's looking. Now, folks on the left are justifiably ticked off about it. Folks on the right should be justifiably ticked off about it. Folks on the right who have been complaining about big government tyranny taking away the rights of U.S. citizens, this is the very definition of it. So for all you Tea Partiers out there who were concerned about big government abusing United States, U.S. citizens and the constitutional rights, this is it, pal. You ought to be out there joining an occupation near you. Because you're worried about big government, you should be. And that's exactly why. In the meantime, we learned that police up in North Dakota are now using Predator drone spy planes to capture cow rustlers. That's right, U.S. citizens. U.S. citizen cow rustlers are now being spied on from 10,000 feet by Predator drones. Oh, we're not going to use this against U.S. citizens. This is for the war on terror. Well, I guess the war on terror now includes the war on cow rustling in North Dakota. Strangely enough, I don't hear any Tea Partiers yelling and screaming about it. I don't hear any right-wingers worried about Big Brother up in the sky at 10,000 feet. Just the same way, I don't hear any right-wingers complaining about the fact that U.S. citizens can be held in military detention forever without a trial, without due process, no matter who the president of the United States is. Whether it's George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, or anybody else, they don't give a damn. Stay with us. Oh, forever. Number one.
I will not go down under the ground, because somebody tells me that death's coming round. And I will not carry myself down to die. When I go to my grave, my head will be high. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground.
Very nice, Tony. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, trying once again to calm myself down. Wish me luck. I'm going to, I've actually asked Tony. I said, can you slow down the music, because I need somebody to talk me down, talk me off the ledge as usual. Oh, I ain't never going to get to everything I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight. There's this breaking news, however. Some guy, yeah, did you know that we have an Attorney General of the United States of America? Some guy goes by the name of Eric Holder. I had assumed that we just had no Attorney General. You know, figured the right-wingers were holding it up or so, you know, holding up his approval or something. But no, it turns out this guy named Eric Holder is the Attorney General of the United States. And I don't have time to play the audio now, but he appeared at the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library down in Austin this week to give a speech on voting rights. Imagine that. Shocking. He followed. Here's a shorter clip that I do have from Lyndon Johnson himself as he was calling on Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act back in 1965.
There is no constitutional issue here. The command of the Constitution is plain. There is no moral issue. It is wrong. Deadly wrong to deny any of your fellow Americans the right to vote in this country.
Well, isn't that quaint? That was, of course, 1965, when there was no moral authority, no moral issue. It was deadly wrong to deny any of your fellow Americans the right to vote in this country. That was then. This is 2012, or it damn near is, and Republican legislators and governors across the country have put in place voting bills that laws that will assure the right to vote will be suppressed in this country, the right to vote for president through the presidential cycle. Basically, the right of elderly, students, minorities, young people, you know, folks who tend to vote Democratic, they will be kept from voting this year under these new voter suppression laws being put in place across the country by Republican legislators. Now, folks who know me know the work that I do at Brad Blog concerning election integrity, know that when it comes to election integrity, to me, it's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. And I'm as happy to join forces with someone like Joe Tea Party Miller up in Alaska when he gets screwed by the voting machines as I am to support anyone else. So this is not a matter of Republicans versus Democrats to me when it comes to election integrity. However, I ain't, going to pull any punches here. I'm going to tell you that it is Republicans who are trying to deny Democrats from their right to vote in 2012 in an unprecedented way, at least in this modern era, certainly since the passage of the Voting Rights Act in 1965. Now, some good news along that front, some good and bad news along that front. Let's start with some good news. In Ohio, it is now official that the voter suppression bill that was put in place by the Republican legislature up there and by Governor John Kasich will now be put on hold. And so the new law, which would have shortened the early voting period, which would have banned in-person early voting on Sundays. It would have prohibited boards of election from mailing absentee ballot requests to voters. It would have done all sorts of regressive things that would have resulted in 4 in 10 voters in Columbus, Ohio alone being able to find out the new time, place, or way to cast their ballot. According to the Columbus Dispatch, the ballots that nearly 250,000 Columbus voters cast in 2008 would have been banned under the new law. That new law is now, thankfully, on hold because the citizens of Ohio stepped up and invoked the voter veto that they have of a sort in Ohio to get this bill, HB 194, on the ballot next November. Therefore, the bill is on hold. Therefore, voters will be able to vote as they were allowed to do, at least in the recent past, the very recent past, in the state of Ohio. That's the good news. And the folks were able to come up with something like, let's see, they needed just 200,000 signatures, but they turned in 75,000 more than that. That's good. That's encouraging. Hopefully we'll see a repeat of what happened in November in Ohio when John Kasich's anti-union bill was crushed by the voter veto by something like 60-40%, and a repeat on that same night of what happened up in Maine, where the voters across the state of Maine, Republican and Democratic alike, rejected the Maine Republicans' attempt to suppress the vote in Maine by their new Republican law that would have ended same-day voter registration on Election Day up there in Maine, a 40-year tradition that worked well, that allowed no voter fraud to occur. But the Republicans acted like it did. They put this law in place, and the voters rejected that out of hand. It was rejected in every single county in November, again, by a margin of approximately 60-40. So, good news in Ohio as far as that goes. Meanwhile, down in Tennessee, where the Republicans' voter suppression law requiring photo ID at the polling place is moving ahead, Dorothy Cooper, she's a 96-year-old African-American woman from Tennessee. She was born before women even had the right to vote. She's been voting religiously for some 70 years without a problem, even before the Voting Rights Act of 1965, during the Jim Crow era in the South. She's been voting without a problem until now. The newly elected GOP legislature in her state has rammed through a disenfranchising polling place photo ID restriction law, which has made it incredibly difficult for Cooper to cast her legal vote, just like some 500,000 legal and largely Democratic-leaning voters in the state of Tennessee. You see, Cooper has never had a driver's license, so at 96 years old, she worked to make her way to the DMV in advance of next year's election, presented her birth certificate, all sorts of other identifying documents in order to receive the supposedly free state-issued photo ID that she's legally entitled to, but she was not allowed to have one. Why? Because she has gotten married. In her 96 years, she got married since she was born, so she had her birth certificate, but she couldn't find her marriage certificate to prove that she was who she said she was. Yes, her name changed when she got married, so it's not the same as that on her birth certificate. So 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper, an African-American woman from Tennessee, may not be able to vote next year. Mission accomplished, Tennessee. Meanwhile, the same thing happened up in Wisconsin, where there is a new voter ID, photo ID restriction in place. And Ruth L. Frank, who is 84 years old, she's been voting since 1948 without a problem. But you see, she was born at home, so she doesn't have a birth certificate. And she may have to pay $200 for the right to cast her legal vote in the state of Wisconsin next year. She has no birth certificate, though there is a record of her birth. She was home birthed, but there is a record of her birth in the Register of Deeds office. To get a copy of a birth certificate made by the Register of Deeds, she'd have to pay $20. That is a poll tax. And back in the 60s, poll taxes used to be turned down as such by the U.S. Supreme Court. I think one that was as small as $1.50. But she's going to have to pay $200 to get a birth certificate created. But that's not the only problem. That's not the only cost that she may have to bear. Because there are typos on her birth record at the Registrar of Deeds office. Here's Ruth L. Frank. Tony, do you have this one, part one here? Here's Ruth L. Frank talking about the fact that she may have to pay up to $200 to be able to cast a vote next year.
I've went all these years without a birth certificate. Well, now I start reading in the newspaper, you know, that the new was going to be that we had to have a card, and that there was five items that you had to have to qualify. So then I took my baptism certificate and marriage license, social security card, and I went down to the motor vehicle department and got, you might just well say, thrown out. I told them right out that I did not have a birth certificate, and she didn't say anything that, you know, that I couldn't go on or anything. And then I went to the next station, and when I handed my baptism certificate to her, she just took it and left it lay on the table and picked it up and handed it back to me, and she said it isn't legal.
So, the baptism certificate isn't legal. She's going to have to pay to get that birth certificate, Ruth L. Frank. Well, here's the potentially good news here. Ruth L. Frank is now the lead plaintiff in a class action suit that has been filed against Governor Scott Walker up in Wisconsin. A federal case here charging that her constitutional rights have been denied. We cover it in great detail, this case that was just filed this week. We cover it in great detail at bradblog.com. Ernest Canning, our legal expert, covers it in great detail and explains that, in fact, this case, if it is successful, may end up setting a precedent, may end up going all the way to the Supreme Court, setting a precedent that undoes the current law that is being used by Republicans across the country to put these photo ID laws in place. A decision by the Supreme Court in Indiana the U.S. Supreme Court, a Indiana case that in 2008 they decided they would allow this photo ID restriction because the people who brought the case, in fact, did not show anyone whose rights had been taken away. Well, now we got a lot of those folks, like Ruth L. Frank, 84 years old in the state of Wisconsin, 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper fighting to vote in Tennessee. You can read about that full story at bradblog.com. Unfortunately, I don't have time to go into as much detail as I would like. There are other folks who are named as plaintiffs in this case, including a 52-year-old veteran who's now indigent. He may not be able to vote under the new laws passed by the Republicans to deny people the right to vote. The right that people have fought and died for in this country over the last how many decades, that is now being taken away under the phony guise of the phony claim that there is voter fraud going on at the polling place. Voters are impersonating others. In fact, George W. Bush's own Department of Justice was unable to bring a single prosecution out of hundreds of millions of votes, a single prosecution against anyone who had impersonated someone else at the polling place, despite an unprecedented amount of resources that the Bush administration had put in to doing exactly that. They were unable to. So once again, if you hear otherwise, you are being lied to. We will give you the straight story at bradblog.com and right here on The Mike Malloy Show, which will continue with me and much more straight ahead. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long. welcome back. 53 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I had hoped to, well, let's see, how do I put these things in order? We have a huge report that I ran earlier this week at bradblog.com out of Venango County, Pennsylvania, that I've been covering here on the Malloy Show. We've actually spoken to the director of the Board of Elections, at least the man who had been the director of the Board of Elections. The judge has now removed the entire Board of Elections from their job in Venango County. The Board of Elections was in the process of doing a landmark audit of the ES&S electronic voting systems that are used in Venango County that failed in several previous elections, that came up with zero voters for some candidates, that saw votes flipping from one candidate to another. You know, those ES&S touchscreen voting machines that are used all over the country. So the Board of Elections had the temerity to copy the hard drive from the main central tabulator and give it to some computer scientists at Carnegie Mellon to examine, to do a forensic audit, to try to figure out what happened. Well, we now know some of the things that happened, but we may not know much more, because ES&S, the company that makes those voting machines, has threatened to sue the computer scientists if they release the information. The county commissioners, who usually serve as the Board of Elections, unless they're on the ballot, they're now back in charge as the Board of Elections. And thus, the specially appointed Board of Elections that was doing this audit has been let go by a judge. And the county commissioners in Venango County, Pennsylvania, apparently want nothing to do with this forensic audit, which has found, among other things, that the central tabulator computer, the election computer, appears to have been connected via a network, which was also connected to a machine, which has at other times been connected to a different network. There was remote access software installed on the computer after it was purchased, and the software appears to have been used at least once for a non-trivial amount of time, 80 minutes, in fact, most recently, the day before the 2010 election, and it was used again on multiple occasions, according to the computer scientist's report, which we only have. And I released it at bradblog.com, the documents in full, the threat letters from ES&S, the largest voting machine company in the country, by the way. We only have that information because the Board of Elections, the one who has been removed now by the judge, they are appealing the removal, and they included the computer scientist report from Carnegie Mellon as evidence in their case to help assure that it would get out to the American public. I may have some more time to talk about this in the next hour, and I hate to give it short shrift because there is so much going on here. And there's so much that you need to know about your electronic voting systems. And by the way, that Board of Elections, it's a very Republican county, Venango County in western Pennsylvania. Two Republicans, one Democrat make up that special board that's now been thrown out. They all unanimously agreed to this forensic test, this forensic analysis. They had to fight for months to even get it done. Both the treasurer of the Republican Party and the head of the Republican Party and the head of the Democratic Party in Venango County are on that board. They are all unanimous in trying to find out what the hell happened with their electronic elections in Pennsylvania, where these machines are going to be used in some 50 counties next year. And they are being stopped by the voting machine company, who says they're proprietary, and the county commission, who says, let's just listen to ES&S. We don't need to know who's counting our votes. Stay with us. More straight ahead.
America. Greetings, truth seekers. Greetings, Mr. Miss America and all the ships at sea. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, once again drafted into duty to occupy your public airwaves for our good friend Mike Malloy, who is enjoying a holiday tonight. If regular listeners will understand that. You understand that, right? Holiday? That's right. Holiday party. Anyway, excuse me. So you've got me, as I say, your friendly blogger from bradblog.com. And boy, do we have a big show for you tonight. So buckle up is all I can tell you. Okay, a couple of pieces of business I want to get out of the way here. The bradblog.com chat room is, as usual, open for business, as it always is when I'm filling in for Mike Malloy, as I will be tonight, and a couple more Friday nights throughout the end of the year. So there's your warning to either, bless you, Tony. See, everything's falling apart already. There's your warning to either avoid it or make sure you find us here on Friday nights until 2012. But the chat room is open at bradblog.com, and Dale and For Earth and Desi are all there moderating the chat room, welcoming you in. Moderating isn't the right word. We'd love to see you there, so stop on by. You can also tweet me throughout tonight's show at The Brad Blog. That's where you will find me on the Twitters, The Brad Blog, and our phone number tonight. Don't dial it yet because I got a lot to cover still, but in case you're going to want to ring in on tonight's issues, our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. We are broadcasting from the beautiful Burbank studios of K-Talk AM 1150, and we're delighted to be here. Our phone number, as I say, 877-520-1150. Okay, Well, you know, I think that I have a feeling that Malloy, he does this on purpose. He knows that whenever there's a government shutdown coming, whenever the Republicans are holding a new victim, a new hostage against the American people, when the midnight deadline is upon us, as it is tonight, by the end of tonight's show, they need to strike a budget deal. And, of course, the Republicans are doing what they always do now. They're holding things hostage, and we're going to find out about the hostage takers momentarily. That deadline is at midnight. But anytime this happens, Malloy takes off. Do you notice that, Des?
That's funny how that works, isn't it?
He did that on the budget or what was it, the debt ceiling?
Well, you know, it's happened three times already this year, so that's something that we find happens fairly frequently. He takes off. I think he plans this.
So there's going to be a pretty good chance, as frequently as it happens, there's going to be a pretty good chance that I'm going to be sitting in one of those nights guest hosting, I guess. Anyway, we're going to keep you up to date. Des is going to keep you up to date. And by the way, that's the lovely Desi Doyen. She is my producer when I'm sitting in for Mr. Malloy. She's also my co-host on the Green News Report, which you can find out more about at greennews.bradblog.com. We may play some Green News later, but I wanted to have Des in here because one of the things we're going to do tonight, oh man, we're going to get all of the stories straight. Every single one of them. There is so much nonsense and BS, and I'm going to have to keep watching my... Tony, keep your finger near that delay button, because it's hard for me to remember to say BS. There is so much of it going on out there. I want to straighten up.
Get your boots on.
Yeah, get your boots on. It's going to be thick tonight. At least we're going to try to thin it out by giving you the real story. The real story about this nonsense that you may have heard if you watched last night's edition of Insane Republicans Running for the Presidential Nomination on Fox News, and that debate they had last night, and the nonsense we heard there about the Keystone XL pipeline. That's one of the reasons I want to have Des here, because she's going to straighten us out on that. this nonsense about Iran. I mean, look, I would love to see a legitimate Republican nomination, Republican nominee running against Barack Obama this year. I would like to see, frankly, if you watched that debate last night, that clown car crazy debate on Fox News last night, Ron Paul was actually great
as he often is, on some foreign policy issues, including Iraq and Iran, while every single candidate up on that stage was talking about bombing Iran. These people could not wait to get into a war with Iran. They can't believe that Barack Obama is not already launching missiles into Tehran. You had Ron Paul there actually speaking some sense, actually saying, do you people hear yourselves? This is crazy. Didn't we learn our lesson from Iraq? And then he actually said on the Fox News Channel airwaves that we killed a million people in Iraq. Because guess what? Yes, we did. A million civilians were killed, according to several studies. And Ron Paul said it on the airwaves. And I'm sure heads exploded around the country from Fox News viewers who were watching this who had no idea that the USA had killed a million Iraqi civilians. Now, the most conservative estimate, I think, is 100 and something thousand Iraqi civilians. But Fox News people haven't heard about that. Can you imagine if any country killed 100,000 Americans? Look what happened on 9/11 when we lost, what, 3,000 or so, was it? And we've been in endless wars ever since. So Iraq, a country much smaller than ours, lost 100,000. And at least Ron Paul had the guts to come out and say that last night on the Fox News Channel for the first time. And that's why I would love to hear. I would love to see Ron Paul as the nominee, see a debate between he and Barack Obama, and see Ron Paul actually being to the left of Barack Obama on foreign policy. And that's another story we're going to try to get straight tonight. The National Defense Authorization Act, which has passed now in both houses of Congress, does the bill allow for indefinite detention against U.S. citizens? Indefinite detention without trial in military prisons? Well, yes, it does. Did Barack Obama threaten to veto it if it included that? Well, no, he didn't. We're going to straighten out that as well. We got a lot, as you can tell, we got a lot to straighten out tonight. Also going to straighten out some stuff and nonsense about the Wisconsin recall elections, the recall of Governor Scott Walker that is underway up there. No Fox News, no Rush Limbaugh. Adolf Hitler and Mickey Mouse did not sign petitions for the recall of Scott Walker. However, there are some people who have now been charged with election fraud for trying to destroy petitions in the recall Walker campaign. We're also going to straighten out the story about Occupy LA if we have time. You may have heard about the arrests that took place a few weeks ago when the LAPD came in and shut down the Occupy LA encampment out here at City Hall. What you might not have heard is what happened after that to those detainees who were held for days and days without charges, without attorneys. Oh, and by the way, they were kept on buses, shackled for some 8 hours at a time, forced to urinate on themselves. Other folks who were detained were forced to kneel on cement for up to 7 hours, shackled. That's what we used to call torture in this country before we started changing the language and inventing phony language to justify things like torture, to justify the big government tyranny that Republicans love to act as if they're against, when in fact they're in favor of it. Go figure. If they weren't in favor of it, they would be screaming holy hell about the treatment that the Occupy protesters, Times Person of the Year, I should add, the protesters, the treatment that they have faced from not just the LAPD, but police agencies across the country. We're going to come back with that and a whole lot more. Oh, light bulbs? Dim bulbs on Fox News. We'll be talking about that as well with Desi Doyen. You can stick around, Des,
yeah,
right?
I'll be here.
All right. She's going to be here. Give us the real facts. That's all we ask for is the truth. Oh, we'll try to tell you the truth about Green 960 up there in San Francisco. Good news there, maybe. Stay tuned for that. Brad, in for Malloy.
must be some kind of way out of here.
There is no way out of here. We are manning the Watchtower tonight. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. We have so much of a show ahead of us, as I said before the break, that I forgot to mention we're going to be joined later in the show by Jacob Dean of Filter Free Radio. And some of you folks may know him from that. Others may know him as Tom Hartman's producer. He's going to be joining us. We're actually going to be simulcasting with him, not with Tom, but with Jake in a few hours here on his broadcast tonight, as he is kicking off along with our friend Nicole Sandler on their Radio or Not network.
RadioorNot.com.
RadioorNot.com. They're kicking off a 24-hour Occuthon in support of Occupy LA. No, Occupy Wall Street. See how single-minded I'm only thinking about, it's always about me.
Occupy,
it?
Occupy, Occupy.
Yes. So we're going to be talking with him and actually simulcasting a little bit later tonight with the Occuthon, which I'm disappointed to learn has nothing to do with the Octomom. Very disappointed. But anyway, we'll be joining him in progress a little bit later in the Malloy and Bradcast tonight. Okay, so we're trying to straighten out some stories. There's so much stuff and nonsense out there. I've asked Desi to join me on this. Desi Doyen. Okay, they were talking about this last night at the crazy clown car convention they call the GOP debate on Fox News.
The traveling circus?
Yes, and now they have tied it. This is now tied to the budget showdown, which is midnight tonight, Eastern time, which is coming right upon us. The Republicans have now tied in the Keystone XL pipeline. That's what they have chosen to hold hostage this time around. And last night, all of the, I think, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, we may have some of Newt. Maybe we'll play that in a bit. They were claiming, as they have been on Fox News, that this pipeline from the Alberta tar sands down to the Gulf of Mexico would, if only Barack Obama would approve it, would supply how many millions of jobs?
11 billion.
That's what they've been saying. 20,000
yes,
is the number they like to use.
20,000 jobs. Some were saying 60,000 jobs at one point on Fox News. They even brought it up to 100,000 jobs. The State Department, when they did their study of this, the State Department study came up with 6,500 temporary construction jobs. This pipeline would be finished, completed, and online by 2014. So that's 2 years worth of temporary construction
temporary jobs
of about 6,500, according to the State Department. And then Cornell's Institute of Labor Studies came out with an independent, the only independent study on this particular project. They said even fewer jobs. So no, not 20,000, certainly not 100,000. They were thinking more like, oh, I don't know, 1,400.
At a max. I think
their
number
was
we'll take 400 to 1,400 temporary
construction jobs. And then when the pipeline is operational, permanent jobs, maybe as many as 50.
As many as 50.
That's
a
lot.
The only independent job. The only independent study that looked at this.
Right, and this is for a pipeline that will extend 1,700 miles from the incredibly destructive and environmentally hazardous tar sands of Alberta. It's the dirtiest oil project on Earth. It's what James Hansen, NASA climate director, called a carbon bomb if it is fully exploited.
Mm-hmm.
That would ship this across this pipeline down to terminals in Houston. And they say, you know, it'll create jobs. It will help secure America's fuel from a friendly neighbor, Canada, which is true to a certain extent, except it will do nothing to lower gas prices. It won't really change the global market for oil either. And, of course, we've got 1,700 miles of pipeline from a company that has a really bad pipeline safety record.
And so the Republicans now are taking this carbon bomb of the Keystone XL pipeline and tying it to the budget deal. It has nothing to do with the budget, but they're threatening government shutdown tonight at midnight if the Keystone XL pipeline is not included. Now, we should be clear here that the Obama State Department had previously approved this pipeline,
the environmental
for
impact statement,
right,
the final hurdle to complete approval, and it was then going to go to President Obama to be the final decider on this, and he, very famously, after many protests from the excellent group 350.org, he listened to those protests. He realized he had a sort of an election problem coming on with his environmental and much of his base.
You mean the environmental
extremists that we heard about last
night
on the Fox
News. Yes, the majority
of
Americans are apparently environmental extremists because they prefer to have clean air, clean land, clean water. But Obama decided to postpone that decision until after the 2012 election.
Now, you say it was because of all the pressure from the environmentalists, or as they say on Fox News, the environmental extremists. However, Barack Obama's decision to not cancel the project, but to postpone a decision because they're moving to a different route and they have to check the route. They have to do a new environmental impact study,
right? The state of Nebraska objected. The Republican governor of Nebraska objected.
The Republican governor, the Republican legislature said, we don't want this poisoning our drinking water. And that was when Barack Obama finally changed his mind, not according to Michelle Bachmann, who said it was the environmental extremists who Barack Obama was counting on to knock on doors for his election. The truth is, the union folks are in favor of this pipeline, many of them, and they do a lot of door knocking, too, in favor of Barack Obama. So we're trying to get these facts straight. Stick around, Des. I got more facts
more
I need you
this.
To help me cover here. Dim bulbs all straight ahead. You're listening to Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Buckle up. Stay with us. To your Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting coast to coast and around the globe here tonight. In for Mike, as he's enjoying an early holiday. He'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me and more show than we can shake a stick at. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, where they've got a poll up now. I think For Earth and Dale have put up a poll there. We're talking about this tar sands pipeline and whether the Democrats and Barack Obama are going to cave on the Keystone XL pipeline as part of this budget deal that is coming up at midnight tonight. Must be done by midnight tonight to avoid a shutdown of the federal government. For my money, shut it down. At this point, shut it down. Call their bluff. Anyway, there's a poll in the chat room. Will Obama cave in and allow the tar sands pipeline? And what we're trying to do is clear up fact from fiction here. Now, the Republicans have, in fact, what they did, they had all of these writers. Desi Doyen is joining me here, my co-host on the Green News Report. We had all of these writers that the Republicans had put in there to keep the EPA from doing anything.
Unrelated policy writers to a budget, a straight budget proposal that normally in normal times and back in the real world when we used to have normality, those things would get passed without any problem. Now they're attaching all of these poison pills, all these riders, all these policy issues, their little favorite thing
hostages.
They're trying to get.
This
they're holding hostages.
They're holding in hostage. And now what the Obama administration was able to do, or the Democrats were able to do, was get them to remove all of those EPA riders except for one. The one that has to do with Keystone XL pipeline, this dirty, filthy pipeline that's going to run all the way across the country.
Right, the biggest soft to big oil that the Republicans could come up
with. Right. And they're out there repeating over and over how many jobs it's going to cost. Now, in fact, in where they are now with this agreement, if Obama accepts this compromise package that includes, that has the Keystone XL, the approval, well, the pipeline attached to the deal, it does not mean, correct, that he's going to have to build this pipeline.
That's correct. It requires him to make a decision to approve the pipeline within 60 days.
Within 60 days. If he doesn't make a decision to approve or reject, then approval will be granted to build this pipeline. In other words, it's forcing his hand to make a decision about this before the election.
Right.
When he would like to wait until after, because he's got folks in his base, both the environmentalists who are opposed this, and some union folks who want to see this done, despite the fact that it ain't going to bring all that many jobs, no matter what, Fox News loves to tell you. The independent studies tell
us otherwise. And it's also important to note that the State Department earlier this week threatened the congressional GOP, saying if you do this, if you attach this rider, you are going to force our hand, will be forced to not approve the pipeline because the environmental impact statement that now has to be redone because they've moved the route.
They moved it.
So the State Department said, if you force our hand, then we will not approve the pipeline. We will withhold approval completely.
Yeah,
well,
so, that's what they said.
That's what they said.
That's what they said. We'll see if they do that. Here was Newt Gingrich last night lying about the Keystone XL pipeline, calling. I'm surprised he didn't call these extremists terrorists. Just get it over with. Call them terrorists. He called these extremists, these environmentalists, terrorists. Instead, he just called them extremists, which we know is code word for terrorist. Newt,
the Canadian Prime Minister has already said to the American President, if you don't want to build this pipeline to create 20,000 American jobs and bring oil through the United States to the largest refinery complex in the world, Houston, I'm going to put it straight west in Canada to Vancouver and ship the oil direct to China, so you'll lose the jobs, you'll lose the throughput, you'll lose 30 or 40 years of work in Houston. And the President of the United States cannot figure out that it is, I'm using mild words here, utterly irrational to say, I'm now going to veto a middle-class tax cut to protect left-wing environmental extremists in San Francisco so that we're going to kill American jobs, weaken American energy, make us more vulnerable to the Iranians, and do so in a way that makes no sense to any normal, rational American.
So did you hear that? Did you hear all those code words? Left-wing, environmental extremists in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And 20,000 jobs, which
of course is not true.
Nonsense. The independent study says 400 to 1,400 temporary jobs and permanent jobs, maybe 50.
If
right?
we're lucky.
Okay. So that's Newt out there lying, and that number is being repeated over and over again. It looks like, Des, and you're keeping your eye on this tonight, it looks like the pipeline is going to be included in the budget deal. They've reached a deal in the Senate.
They have indeed reached a tentative payroll tax deal, which will then allow them, that's the impasse that was holding them up from doing all the other government shutdown business. So, yeah, they have reached this tentative payroll tax deal. It will extend the Social Security payroll tax cuts and jobless benefits for 2 whole months. So we get to go through this all over again
in two months.
And it will require Obama to accept those demands for the fate of the pipeline. And it also includes that dim bulb light bulb ban.
Okay, we're going to talk about the fake light bulb ban. Although, get Kathy and Mike Malloy on the phone. 2 months, you say?
Yes.
Okay, so there's going to be another shutdown in 2 months?
We'll have to tell them.
Yeah, let them know, because that's when we'll be back guest hosting again. All right, this light bulb thing. They had, so you got the Keystone XL thing is still in there.
Policy rider, yes.
The one other thing that the Democrats have agreed to leave in, they got rid of the policy riders that would have gutted the EPA, except for this one about the light bulbs. And Fox News, anybody who's been watching Fox knows that thanks to Barack Obama and the left-wing environmental extremists in San Francisco, thanks to them, light bulbs are all going to be banned except for the crappy, terrible ones that are fluorescent and everybody hates. Those are the only bulbs you're going to be able to buy as of the end of the year.
And of course, wrong. Completely false. A total lie. There is no incandescent light bulb ban. There never has been. What it was something that the Bush administration approved, which was energy efficiency. You know, the light bulb hasn't changed since Edison invented it in 1900. So they figured, hey, you know, time for an upgrade. Let's save some money with energy efficiency. So the Republican Congress and the Republican President George W. Bush passed the energy efficiency in light bulbs, in incandescent light bulbs. And so that's what we have now. The manufacturers of light bulbs have already started innovating. You can already get more energy efficient bulbs now. You can even get LEDs. In fact, that was part of what helped spur the innovation in lighting that we have now.
The American light bulb producers like this.
Yeah,
because they can compete. They want to compete with China, who's making the crappy non-energy efficient bulbs, apparently. Here's a from a leading manufacturer quoted at Climate Progress in July, quote, "The reality is consumers will see no difference at all. The only difference they'll see is lower energy bills because we're creating more efficient incandescent bulbs."
The funny thing is, so, you know, consumers saving money on energy. I think perhaps the Republicans would like for you to spend as much money on energy as possible, because that is the company, those are the companies that are
their meal ticket,
funders.
Baby.
So, you know, they need to make money by selling you as much energy as you can possibly use up.
Mm-hmm. Blocking the standards, this is from ENE News. Blocking the standards effectively serves as a slap in the face to light bulb manufacturers who have been working since 2007 to produce these new bulbs. They stand to make money. The light bulb producers, the American manufacturers, the ones who we manufacture so little in this country, they're the ones who are getting screwed. They're the ones who the Republicans are telling to go to hell with this, and that Fox News is out lying about, telling you you're going to have your light bulbs, the light bulbs you love so much, banned. Completely nonsense.
And it's a lie.
It's a lie. All right.
So that was included on the payroll tax cut deal, the extension for 2 months. The light bulb, the not a light bulb ban at all, is now gone away, I guess, for 2 months. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure how that works. And the Keystone XL pipeline approval. And we get to do this all again in 2 months.
In 2 months. Okay. So we're going to have the fake light bulb ban gone and the Keystone. And then we'll find out whether Obama is going. Right now in the chat room, there was a tie last I looked. The poll that they had set up in the bradblog.com chat room between will Obama cave in and allow the Keystone pipeline? Yes. Oh, now it's changed a little bit. Yes, 56%. And my hair is on fire is 33%.
My hair is on fire. I asked for
means...
and she said it means, yes, he's going to cave, and I am totally freaking out about
freaking
it.
Freaking out about it.
That's
okay.
My hair is on fire.
All right, yeah. No, only has 11%. So I wonder why people think Barack Obama would cave on that. Well, perhaps the way he dealt with the National Defense Authorization Act gives us some indication of why he might cave. We're going to be talking about that momentarily. Can we get to an early break here so we have plenty of time coming back after the break for this? Because I got this and I got a lot more. Like I say, we're going to invoke the fourth hour tonight because there's no way we can get it in 3 hours. So. We're just letting our affiliates know we'll be running for 4 hours, maybe even longer. Maybe we will turn this into an Occuthon and keep occupying the airwaves. And we're happy, by the way, I should say, to be occupying the airwaves in San Francisco, the great Green 960, which the Brad blog can report tonight. Looks like it may not be shutting down after all. May not be shutting down. Clear Channel had planned to make it go away, replace it with Glenn Beck by the end of the year. But it looks like we have news tonight. It may be sticking around. We'll have more on that. Brad, in for Malloy.
You must be mad. What happened to the sweet love you and me had? Against the door he leans and starts a scene, and his tears fall and burn a garden green.
Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show, coast to coast and around the globe on Sirius XM Channel 127. Of course, many great, fine progressive affiliates, air affiliates across the country, including Green 960, Clear Channel's Green 960 up there in San Francisco. We were worried we were going to lose you at the end of the year. We still might lose you at the end of the year.
Well, San Francisco would lose, actually.
Yes. Good point. Well said. This Clear Channel, I know Mike had talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We broke the story over at Brad Blog. We've got a new story on it today. We broke the story that they were getting rid of Green 960, replacing it with Glenn Beck, other Fox News lunatics. But that has changed, it seems.
Maybe.
Maybe. hopefully, instead of at the end of the year when they were going to dump it. And by the way, as Malloy Mike pointed out a couple of weeks ago when this came up, or a week or two ago when this came up, Mitt Romney's Bain Capital actually owns Clear Channel now. So at the beginning of a 2012 presidential election year, Mitt Romney's old company was going to get rid of the progressive talkers in San Francisco, the only progressive talk station on the AM dial in San Francisco. The nation's one of the nation's most progressive towns was going to have no progressive talk radio. That still could be the case. But we have learned, I've talked to some inside sources after a tip from All Access, which is sort of an industry website, radio industry website, was reporting that Clear Channel is rethinking their plans. They may keep Green 960 around, keep it intact. And some of the folks that I've talked to seem to indicate that that very well may be a possibility. How's that for a soft confirm? What I can confirm is that the plans were underway to make this change by the end of the year, and some of those plans have stopped for the moment. There is nothing official. Nothing official has been announced yet. But the signs are looking encouraging. And so if you live in San Francisco or in the Bay Area or anywhere in this country that you're concerned about our public airwaves and the right to have free speech to counter the 99% of the radio that is right-wing, corporate-owned, right-wing lies and nonsense, much of which we've had to disabuse you of throughout this hour as we're trying to straighten out the fact. You know, this is one of the problems with progressive radio, is we spend so damn much time correcting the lies, correcting the nonsense. We're going to keep doing that in this next hour, unfortunately. Lies about Adolf Hitler and Mickey Mouse signing recall Scott Walker petitions up in Wisconsin. Never happened. It's a lie. It's BS. But Rush Limbaugh is allowed to go on 700 affiliate stations and tell all of his listeners that that's what happened.
And don't forget to mention the millions that Fox News reaches when one of Fox News' reporters said pretty much the same
thing. Fox News, yeah, but you know what? Rush Limbaugh reaches far more folks than Fox News does. Talk radio is where it happens. Talk radio is where the lies begin, where they live, where they get into everybody's ears while they're driving to and from work. Way more people listen to Rush Limbaugh than the entirety of Fox News primetime lineup. Same thing for Sean Hannity. On the radio, way huge listenership. You know, and that's just the facts. And when they tell you that, oh, progressive radio can't succeed because nobody wants to listen to it, nonsense. Absolute, utter nonsense. The fact of the matter is, most of the progressive stations are not allowed to have the big signals. They're not marketed. They're not promoted. They're owned by the same stations in the same towns as the right-wing stations. There is no competition in progressive talk radio. There is no free market in talk radio. That's a scam. There is no competition, period. And I can back it up 1,000 times till Sunday.
With actual data,
actual facts.
So if you
hear otherwise, if you hear that the reason there's not progressive talk is because it's not successful on the airwaves, that's nonsense. It was amazing, actually, last week when I broke the story that Green 960, the Clear Channel was getting rid of Green 960, I was able to point out that, in fact, they had, you okay? All right. I was able to point out that, in fact, Talkers Magazine had claimed that the reason Green 960 was being shut down in San Francisco, the nation's most progressive city, was because talk radio needs a listenership that feels like they're in the minority. And up there in San Francisco, where they're so liberal, they didn't feel they were in the minority, therefore they didn't listen to the station. Now, in fact, they didn't market the station. But they did listen to it. Anyway, it actually did almost as well as Clear Channel's right-wing station up there in San Francisco. And the right-wing station has a stronger signal. So it did fine. But you had Talkers Magazine claiming that talk radio doesn't do well unless the audience doesn't, feels put upon, unless the audience feels victimized. And they don't feel that way in San Francisco because it's such a liberal town.
And what does that say about the conservative listeners that they have to feel victimized?
Well, you know what? This is if you trust what Talkers Magazine said, because the other excuse for why, if that was true, if talk radio needs a listenership that feels like they're in the minority and they're up against it, then there would be progressive talk radio stations across the state of Kansas, across the state of Utah, across the reddest, most Republican areas in the country. You would have progressive talk radio on the airwaves. But no, we don't have that. And when you ask, well, why isn't there progressive talk radio in Kansas? Why isn't there progressive talk radio in Utah? Oh, well, we don't need progressive talk radio in Kansas because everybody there is so conservative, with quotes around it. They're all so conservative, they don't want to listen to progressive talk radio. So
they get it both coming and
going.
They
get it both coming and going. And what they're doing is they are raping you on your public airwaves with right-wing talk on your public airwaves. And then they're lying to you about it. And they're telling you, oh, it's because that's how you want it. Just sit back and enjoy it.
Oh,
Isn't that what they say?
No,
yeah,
no,
that's what they say. When it comes to talk radio, be happy you even have it, brother. Straightening out more lies and nonsense straight ahead on your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Oh, we got a big show ahead. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.